Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, welcome to Live with Passion. My name is Father Cedric Pazenia, the host, and I'm so glad that you decided to tune into the program today. And I want to talk to you today about how God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Let me read this reading to you from Romans chapter 8. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. For those whom God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So God works for good in all things for those who love Him. I remember back in my seminary days, I did some ministry in an African-American church. And in that African-American church, there was a lot of singing, a lot of enthusiasm. And the preacher would get up there and he'd go, "God is good," and everybody would say, "All the time." And then the preacher would say, "All the time," and everybody would say, "God is good." So it was kind of wonderful to hear that. And we believe that, that God is good. God is a good God. God is beneficial. He loves us. He blesses us. I love what Jesus taught. He said, you know, God's goodness is indiscriminate. He makes His sun shine on the just and the unjust. He makes His rain fall on the good and the bad. So whether you're an unbeliever or a believer, God is good to you. He's given you life. He's called you into being. He blesses you with many good things. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. It says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, that God created the heavens and the earth, and God saw that it was good. See, everything that God does is good. Taste and see, the Bible says, the goodness of the Lord. And then it says on the sixth day, you know, day one, day two, three, four, five, everything God created at the end of it, He says, and God saw that it was good. Then on the sixth day, God creates human beings, men and women. And then it says, God saw what He had created, and it was very good. We are God's masterpiece. That's what Ephesians tells us. We are God's masterpiece, Ephesians 2:10. So you aren't junk. God created you. You are very good, and I hope that you can see a self-image like that. You are, the Bible says in Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then I love what it says in Jeremiah 29:11, God has a good plan for your life. So not only has God created with goodness, He bestows His blessings upon all His goodness. God has created us and we're very good. God has a plan for our life, a good plan for our life. And as we heard from Romans 8, God makes all things work to good. Think for a moment about the tragedy of the cross, about Jesus innocent and pure and holy and righteous and undefiled, and how evil people crucified Him. And God brought resurrection out of that tragedy. See, that's how good God is. He is able to deliver us and redeem us and save us. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, I say it quite a bit, God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. And He took the crooked lines of the passion and the injustice and the tragedy and brought something good. He brought resurrection. And He can take the crooked lines of your life, the injustice, the tragedies, the hurts that you bear, the abuse and the hardships that you've gone through, and He can redeem that, and He has redeemed it, and bring salvation and bring something good out of it. That's what Romans 8 is telling us, that God makes all things work to good for those who love Him. So God is a good God. But hold it, time out, back up the tape. What about all the evil? What about all the hardships? What about all the suffering? What about all the tragedies in the world? You know, I just got an email from one of my partners, in Louisville, Kentucky. He's living in an assisted care center. And he's living with many people who are sick and elderly and lonely and broken. And he sent me an email and he said, you know, Father, I'm a believer and, you know, I'm a partner with your ministry, but why does God allow all this suffering? If God is so good, what's all this going on? And, you know, that's the age-old question. If God is good, then why the bad in the world? Why the suffering? Why the evil? You know, we believe that God is good. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord. And as I said, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But yet, we see in our world so much tragedy and so much suffering and so much hurt. Some of you are going through some pretty hard situations. And growing older is one of them. You know, the body wears out. There's cancer, and there's divorce, and there's children born with SIDS, SIDS. There's Down syndrome. There's so many different things that people can get in the world. There's accidents. There's hurricanes. There's cancer. People in hospitals, young people in hospitals, all kinds of different things. So we've all heard about this now. We all know about it. We're human. We deal with it. Theologically, this is called the problem of evil. How can an all-powerful, good God allow evil to happen in the world? If God was all-powerful, then he should be able to take care of this. If he's all good, then there shouldn't be evil in the world. What is going on? And, you know, maybe you've read some of these books. Many books have been written about this, about the problem of evil. This is what the theological term of it is when we studied in the seminary. It was took a whole course on it, the problem of evil. And books have been written, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? That was Rabbi Krishna. A Christian book about it is called Mosquitoes in Paradise. I wrote a book called Live Passionately, where I try to make sense out of the suffering and the evil in life. And then a very positive book that I really like is called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, and I think it'll really bless you. But let's look at the evidence here. I've already talked about the evidence of creation. You know, you go to the Grand Canyon, or you go to the mountains in Denver, or you go to the ocean in California or Florida. You look up at night and you see the stars. You look around you and there's 7 billion people on the earth. So there's ample evidence for the goodness of God. Life, the earth teems with life. There is vegetation and animals and insects and all these different things. All the good things that God has given us, the food that he's given us, the prosperity, the wonderful things, the creation itself. As I said, it's very good. But yet, there are, as we know, many evil and hard things. Good people that suffer. I think about Billy Graham, for example. At this moment, at this taping, he's lost his wife, Ruth. He's over 90 years old, has Parkinson's, lonely. It's got to be tremendously hard for him. John Paul II had Parkinson's. I think about our founder, St. Paul of the Cross, lived to be 81 years old, said at the end of his life that he was suffering depression. Mother Teresa suffered depression in her life. Pope Francis, our present pope, has lost part of his lung. I think about my body, my knee, my hip, my back, you know, all kinds of different things happening. It's hard. And, you know, we've all dealt with different things. And I've heard it said, somebody said, be careful how you treat people because everybody is in the midst of a battle. Everybody's going through something. And you know that because you're going through it too. Does that mean that God's punishing you? Well, if it is, that means that he's punishing some of the best people on earth, some of the best people that ever lived. Of course, God isn't punishing us. We're all human. To be human is to suffer. It's to experience the good things, the joys of relationships, but it's also to experience the hardships and the evil, and we all must go through it. But I'd like to say, you know what, better to have lived and experienced suffering than not to have lived at all. And we must go through it, find meaning in it and purpose in it. And I'll make some statements here and about suffering that, first of all, God doesn't cause the suffering. He's not the first cause of it. I really believe that it's attributable to evil, the evil one himself, who made us fall. our choices, a lot of the suffering in life, the murders, the abortions, the different things, it's because of the human will and the wrong choices that we make. So, you know, we can't blame it all on God. But yet God still has the power, and God is good, so what's going on? And then I think about, as a nation, we're very familiar with some of the trials and the tragedies that we've had to go through. What about 9-1-1 and what happened there, and over 3,000 people that were innocently killed? And what an awful tragedy that was for our nation. And then the terrorism that's going on in the world today. And remember now, it's directly attributable to people's decisions. But still, if God is good, why doesn't he stop it? You know, at the very moment that I'm speaking, many of our embassies are closed because, especially in Yemen, we're worried about Al-Qaeda attacking us. So it's been 40 years that abortion has been legalized. How many millions of little babies have been killed? And then, of course, poverty and hunger that is rampant around the world. What about accidents that just simply happen where good people are killed? You know, women on their wedding night killed in accidents and different things like that. We hear about it in the news all the time. As I've said, hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, we all heard about that in the news. Recently, there was the shooting of the little first and second graders in Newtown, Connecticut, if you remember that. And presently, as I'm preaching this, the killings that are going on in Syria and the Middle East, it's all so unreasonable. Egypt, you may not know about this, but there was an Armenian Holocaust back in right after the turn of the century in the 1900s. 1.5 million people perished. Many people don't even know about that. They know about the Jewish Holocaust, but the Armenian Holocaust, 1.5 million people perished in this. Horrible things. Children now, children born with birth defects, Down syndrome, cancer, all kinds of different things going on. Think about the Shriners Hospital for Children and all these children in there. You know, they're children. They should be out playing. You know, if God's so good, what's going on? So I tried to paint the picture here of which we are all very familiar. We cannot escape the fact that there is great suffering, there is great tragedies, and there are great hardships in life. Maybe some of you are watching me from a hospital or a nursing home or an assisted living care center. Many of you are watching me from your own homes and you're over 80 years old and you know the suffering that you're going through. Are you being punished by God? Absolutely not. We have all been born into a human world, a fallen world, in which, as we know, death and suffering is a given. But yet, if God is good, what's going on? If he's all powerful, why? Couldn't it be another way? That's the problem of evil. And that's what people all throughout the ages have asked. I think about the book of Job. I'll talk about that in a little while. You know, Job, a man who was blessed by God, and then it was all taken away from him. And yet in the end, God restored it to him. But I wanted to tell you about something that I saw. It was a movie where God was put on trial by Jewish people who were in a Nazi concentration camp. You know, the Jews, the chosen race, believers in God. And as they had this trial about God, it was called God on Trial, and it was very poignant, very powerful. As they were sitting around in a circle discussing why did God destroy the world by a flood? What kind of a God is that? Or why did God demand Abraham to sacrifice his son? So they were going through all the negative parts of the Old Testament and putting God on trial. And so as they were saying that, a Nazi SS man comes in with a couple guards and starts reading off numbers. 22, 46, 9. 33, 87, 1. And every time he read a number, a prisoner had to stand up and be paraded out and sent to the ovens. So as they're putting God on trial, people are being plucked just kind of anonymously, strangely, right out of their midst and being put to death. And these are the real life things that are happening, or did happen, and that happened today. And at the end of the movie, they found God guilty. And they determined that God broke the covenant with the Jewish people, and that God was not good. It was a pessimistic, sad movie. But some people think that way. There are some people watching this program right now, and one of the main excuses you have for not going to church and not believing in God is you're thinking, well, how can a good God allow all this evil to happen? I can't believe in God if it's going to be like that. How can there be an all-powerful God and look at 9-1-1, look at all the abortions, look at the murders, look at the accidents, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, the hurricanes. If God's like that, I don't want any part of him. That's the big excuse that people use. And I guess, you know, in some ways you can't blame them. It's one way of arguing. But I want to tell you, I'm going to end this program and redeem this whole situation. That God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And don't just rely upon what you see. You have to rely upon what you believe and what you know deep within. And I'll share that with you in just a little bit. So I wanted to share with you a story talking about a Nazi concentration camp. I've read some books on, you know, what people had to go through. One book, very positive, I want you to get it, a powerful book in my life, Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. Excellent book, Man's Search for Meaning. Get that book. It'll really give you a lot of purpose and passion in your life. My book, Live Passionately, I quote that book. It'll really help you. A pessimistic book about the Nazi concentration camps. Night by Elie Wiesel. 1986, he won the Peace Prize, Elie Wiesel, the Nobel Peace Prize. But this book is so tragic and so pessimistic. It's called Night, and it's very dark. And I wanted to read, it's a firsthand account of what happened in some of these concentration camps by Elie Wiesel, who was held prisoner there. And this particular camp was the camp of Buna, or Burma, one or the other. It was about three people that were going to be put to death, and one of them was a little boy. And this is how it goes. The three victims were mounted together on the chairs. The SS came in. Three necks were placed at the same time within the nooses. "Long live liberty," cried the two adults. But the child was silent. "Where is God? Where is he?" somebody behind me questioned. At a sign from the head of the camp, the three chairs were tipped over. Total silence throughout the camp. On the horizon, the sun was setting. "Bare your heads," yelled the head of the camp. His voice was powerful. We were all weeping. "Cover your heads." Then the march past began. They made us all file past those three nooses. The two adults were no longer alive. Their tongues huge, swollen, blue-tinged, but the third rope was still moving. Being so light, the little child was still alive. For more than half an hour, he stayed there, struggling between life and death, dying in slow agony right before our eyes. We had to look at him full in the face. And he was still alive when I passed in front of him, his tongue red, his eyes not yet glazed. Behind me, I heard the same man asking, "Where is God now?" And I heard a voice within me answer him, "Where is he? Here is he. He's hanging here on the gallows." And that night, our soup tasted like corpses. As I said, a very pessimistic view, but these are the real things that have happened in our history. Innocent people being put to death, accidents, tragedies, hardships, diseases. And so this is the world that we live in, and I don't mean to be pessimistic at all. Any of you who know me, I'm very positive and very optimistic. But I'm a realist, and I see what's going on. And I've spent time with you in the confessional, and I've spent time with you in counseling, and I've heard about the divorces and the hardships and the separations. I've heard about your bodily pains and about your relationship problems. I've heard about the accidents that have happened and the tragedies and the trials. And I know that most people are going through things. Not everybody has tragedies, but everybody has to go through things. And let's face it, every one of us someday is going to die. We are going to die. We live in a death-denying culture, but the fact is we are all going to die. So we have to be real about this. And if God is so good, why all this? Well, I remember, just really quickly, a few days ago, I just returned from presiding at a funeral of one of my best friends. He was only 63 years old, good Catholic man. 20 years ago, he contacted Hodgkin's disease. I guess it's an inherited trait. Ended up getting lung cancer, never smoked, but he got lung cancer. They took the lung out, and for 8 months, he was in the hospital. 8 months at the end of his life. Then he finally passed. Leaves a wife, a daughter, two sons. His daughter is pregnant. And his two daughters-in-law, which I all married 2 years ago, they're pregnant. All three of them are pregnant now. He doesn't even get to see his granddaughters. And good man, Brent Skillman, died. And I believe he's with God. And then, of course, you know, other things happen. I remember when I was a seminarian, I was doing some hospital ministry, and I had to go into this room, and I knew what was happening in there, I was told. The man that they were talking about, his family was in the waiting room. He was on life support, wasn't recovering, and the family was in there discussing unplugging the life support. And I had to go in there as a seminarian and somehow be a part of that. And I remember right before I went in that door, I stood outside. I didn't know if I should cry or laugh or what I should do. My emotions were going crazy. And I went in there, and I'll never forget the time that I spent with those people in this gut-wrenching decision about disconnecting their husband and father from life support. It was such a hard decision for them to make. So I'm just simply saying that this is real life, but let me redeem this by saying some positive things now. That God is not the cause of evil. Satan is. People's wrong decisions have made a lot of the messes that we're in. God is the one, please get this, who redeems us, who brings us out of this, and who brings us new life in the midst of this. Remember what I said, God makes all things work to good. He brought resurrection out of the cross when evil people nailed Jesus to the cross. And as we heard, for example, in the story of Job, things were taken away from him, not by God, but by evil. Satan was the one that took it away from Job. And then in the end, you know, even Job's wife said, Job, curse God and die. And Job remained trusting, steadfast, and in the end, that's what I want to talk about, in the end, he was restored. All of his goods were restored, double, twice over. And that's what I want to tell you, that there's an end coming. You may not understand the beginning or the middle, but there's an end coming, and that end is redemption. That end is salvation. Really quickly, I wanted to tell you a story about a missionary and his wife. They were over in Africa for many years, serving over there. Finally, they're going to come back to the United States. Unbeknownst to them, on the cruise ship that they're on, Teddy Roosevelt was over there hunting game in Africa. They're coming back, and he was very disappointed, the missionary was, because everybody was paying attention to the President Roosevelt. Nobody even knew about all the years that he spent over there as a missionary. Nobody was paying any attention to him. And he was kind of getting him depressed. And, you know, here he is coming home to the United States. Finally, they dock in New York. And again, the press and all the people, they all go to Teddy Roosevelt. They're spending all this time with him. And then the missionary told his wife, he says, I am just so depressed. Nobody even paid attention. We spent all those years over in Africa. Nobody even bothers with us. And his wife said, honey, why don't you go and spend some time with God and see if God speaks to you? He went to his room, came back to his wife. And he goes, honey, God just spoke to me. And the wife said, well, what did he say? And he said, God told me, don't be depressed. You're not home yet. And what I want to tell you is, there's a great homecoming. It's not over till it's over. Many of you know that I've had two near-death experiences. And remember Dr. Martin Luther King said, I've been to the mountaintop. You know, I've seen the glory. That's exactly what happened to me. I've been to the mountaintop. And I've seen the glory to come. And I remember when I was with God, I forgot about all the sufferings and all the hardships and all the pain. And I want to tell you that one day God will right all the wrongs. One day God will bring justice. One day there will be a great homecoming. And you must trust this. Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, prayed Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But that was a psalm of trust, where the end of the psalm, everything is restored. And he said, into your hands I commit my spirit. So whatever you're going through right now, I want you to trust God. You're not home yet. One day it will be restored. And if you've been using, how can bad things happen to good people? Why are all these different things going on in the world as an excuse to stay away from God? I'm asking you to take another look. God isn't the one who causes evil. God is the one who redeems us from evil, and he's going to bring us to another place. Please trust in the one who can help you now. Don't turn your back on the only one who can bring you through. So, as we heard in the African American church, God is good all the time. And I want to tell you, the truth is, God doesn't cause death and suffering and hardship. God isn't the one who did it, but God is the one who redeems it. And remember, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Don't just live. Live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.